السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان توابا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم اجعلنا منهم ومن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. آمين يا رب العالمين. ثم أما بعد, we're starting the study of Surah Nasr, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. This surah comes right after Surah Al-Kafirun in the Mus'haf. We have about four surahs more left before the Mus'haf is done. And this surah is actually directly connected to the message of the previous surah. In the previous surah, عَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ. In the previous surah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was told to basically openly declare his separation from the Quraysh by not even calling them... By not even calling them his own people, but rather calling them kafirun. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. In this surah, Allah Azza wa Jal, because that conflict has been declared in the previous surah, this is a surah that guarantees the Messenger of Allah and those who believe with him, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it guarantees all of them victory. And so this is the surah famously known as the surah that brings the help of Allah and the victory, as the first ayah suggests. Also, in the previous surah, we learned لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ. So there was a concluding comment, which is commonly very misunderstood as you can have your religion and I can have mine and we can both go our own ways. But that's clearly not the case in the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ. Suratul Kafirun is a late Makki surah. What that means is it's at the end of the era of da'wah. For almost a decade or a little more even, the Messenger has been inviting these people to the religion of Islam, and they have not accepted, with very, very few exceptions. And at this point, it's very clear that they have made up their mind. Hence, they're not even called people, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ, they're called يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. They're set in their ways, they're going to remain in kufr. The word deen doesn't just mean religion. One of the meanings of deen is also outcome or judgment. And so, when Allah's Messenger tells them, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينَ, you will have your deen and I will have mine, one of the meanings of that is, you will have the consequences of your religion, and I will have the consequences of mine. And the fate of the religion of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam is victory. It is guaranteed. That is what is ahead for him in this dunya and in the next. But the fate of their religion is defeat and humiliation in this dunya and also in the next. I'm happy with this now. Alhamdulillah. Okay. So what we find in this surah is the victory of this deen, and in the next surah, what is the fate of those who disbelieve? Allah gives an example of them, تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ. What happens to those who disbelieve and their fate? So the two have been contrasted. Another thing about this surah that is important to note is that the Messenger والسلام, was told, وَلَا سَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. This is something we studied before, that Allah will give you very soon, He will give you a lot, until you yourself are pleased. This is what Allah guaranteed to His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And part of giving the Messenger is removing grief and concern from him. One of the things that gives the Messenger alaihi salatu wasallam a lot of pain is that he delivers the message and people don't take it seriously. They don't believe. And rather they make fun of the message and don't realize how seriously in danger they themselves are if they don't accept this message. And this brings the Messenger alaihi salatu wasallam grief. And imagine he's not only worried about his own tribe, like all messengers were sent to their own nation. The Messenger of Allah realizes, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that if these people don't believe, then there's no talking about the next generation of people, not to mention the rest of the world, because he's the final Messenger of Allah. So the grief is enormous. It's captured in many places in the Quran. For example, when Allah says, فَلَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ إِن لَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Are you going to kill yourself in grief? If they don't believe, out of grief, are you going to kill yourself with worry? So the Messenger is extremely worried. And what will remove his worry is that he sees people actually entering into the religion. And so in that way, this is one of the gifts Allah has given his Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the words, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. That ayah has the word رَأَيْتَ, you saw. The messenger is being told, you get to see for your own eyes that they will enter into the religion, multitudes upon multitudes. In other words, it's not something that will happen after you pass away and you won't know what happened after, but you'll get to see it with your own eyes. So in other words, he dies with satisfaction. You know, compare this to the grief and the concern of Ya'qub alayhi salam. He doesn't know what's going to happen after he's gone, right? So he gathers his children around and he says to them, مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. Who are you going to worship after? What are you going to worship after I'm gone? He's concerned. Similarly, Ibrahim alayhi salam keeps making dua for his future generations because he only sees his immediate generation. He doesn't see the larger, you know, the consequences, what's going to happen in the future generations. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is given this satisfaction to be able to see the growth of his ummah in his own lifetime, sallallahu alayhi wasalam. In the introduction to this surah, a few things. Umar bin al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, this is after the Prophet's passing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was quizzing the Sahaba. He was taking a tafsir quiz from them. And he recited this surah and he said, tell me about it. So the Sahaba gave their opinion. Some of them said, this is the victory of Allah when Mecca was conquered. This is the surah that guarantees or gave the good news of the final the domination of this deen. And he accepted all of them. And yes, but I'm looking for more. And they turned to a young Sahabi named Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. What's your opinion? And he said, this is the farewell address of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the surah that announces the leaving, the departing of Allah's Messenger. And Umar bin al-Khattab tells him, I was thinking the same thing, but why do you think so? He was thinking the same thing, but why do you think so, Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. By the way, he's one of the youngest at the time. And he says that every Messenger Allah sends on this earth, he's sent for a purpose. And the purpose is that he deliver the message. And when he finishes his job and he's delivered the message and the people have received the message, then the worldly function, the worldly purpose of the life of that messenger is complete. He is no longer kept in this dunya without a mission. And so when people enter into this deen and the victory has arrived and more people are entering into Islam, it is an indication that the job of the messenger has been accomplished. And that means that it's time for him to leave. When this surah was revealed, it is narrated that Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu cried profusely without any explanation. He just heard the surah and he kept on crying profusely. Similarly, we find some very interesting narrations. We'll discuss them in more detail as the dars continues after salah, inshallah. But Aisha radiallahu anha narrates that the messenger started making a lot more istighfar than he ever did before. After this surah was revealed, Subhanak Allahumma astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Similarly, Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha narrates that he used to repeat Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. We'll read the full narration later on, but sitting, standing, walking, all the time he would recite this over and over again. And she said to him, Tukathir, you know, you've added a lot more than you used to before in terms of this dhikr. And he said, لِأَنَّهُ أَمَرَنِي بِهِ, because I've been commanded to do so. And he recited this surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ. Why? Because at the end of the surah we find, وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ. The messenger is commanded, seek istighfar. So the messenger increased his istighfar. A lot of scholars also comment that the famous hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which he tells us that in any given day he makes istighfar at least 100 times, is mentioned after this surah was revealed. That after the surah, the messenger increased his practice of istighfar. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Also, he increased a special dhikr of istighfar in sajda. And this is not commonly known. Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdik Allahumma ghfirli. This is what he would add in his sajda after this surah was revealed. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu actually comments that after this surah was revealed, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would start praying a lot more than he did even before. He was already a man of a lot of, you know, qiyam. Of course, the fard, but constantly making nawafil. But he increased even what he had, so much so that his feet would swell and they would be in pain. So, narration after narration after narration telling us that this surah had a very deep and profound impact on the personal life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Half of this surah is dealing with something that happened on the outside. And this is something we'll, inshallah, by the time we tie this dars up, it'll make more sense to you. But half of this surah, or more than half really, the first two ayat are dealing with one subject, the victory of Islam in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The last ayah is dealing with the practice of the Messenger himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as far as praising Allah, remembering Allah, doing dhikr of Allah, and asking Allah's forgiveness. So what are the first two things? What was the first thing? The victory of Islam have to do with the messenger seeking forgiveness? How are the two things connected? That is something we will explore, inshallah ta'ala, as this dars continues. The important thing I want to get to before the salah break, though we have about 10 or so minutes, is a discussion among ulama about the historical context in which the surah is revealed. They are divided. The majority of ulama say that this is a Madani surah, and a minority says that this is a Makki surah. So I'll share with you the opinions of the majority first. The majority that says this is a Madani surah, they say either it was revealed at the time Mecca was conquered, at Fath Mecca, or it was revealed a couple of years before then at Hajjatul Wida', so at the farewell Hajj it was revealed. Or they say that the Prophet ﷺ was reciting it as he was entering Mecca, but that suggests that it was already revealed and he was repeating it to himself as he was riding the camel when he ﷺ enters the city of Mecca as a victor. And by the way, he entered with his forehead on the camel and his beard was touching the camel itself, suggesting that he entered in a state of sajda. He entered in a state of humility ﷺ. But the minority does say it's Makki, and it's kind of peculiar. When I first read that, some scholars did actually say that this is a Makki surah too, I found it very difficult to understand at first. Because, you know, clearly it's talking about the victory, Fath Makkah, this is a Madani incident. So what will lead them to believe that this is a Makki surah? We'll look at their opinions also. First of all, they say there's a different way of looking at those narrations. You remember Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma and the question Umar had asked him? They say there's a different way of looking at that narration. In other words, what Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma is saying is, when those things happen, when the victory of when the help of Allah comes and the victory arrives and the people enter into Islam in multitudes, then we know that it's time for the messenger to leave. It doesn't necessarily mean it happened already. In other words, this surah they look at as a guarantee of the victory rather than looking back and commenting on the victory that already took place. So they're looking at it in that sense as a Makki surah. The second evidence they use is the use of the word idha. In Arabic, you know, in the English translation, if you're reading one, as we follow along, idha ja'a nasrullah, when the help of Allah, right? When, the word when is the word idha. But in the Arabic language, there's another word for when, which is idh. So there's idh and idha. Now, you know, idh is used in the Quran also, like idh zaghatil absar wa balagatil qulubul hanajir, right? Idh qala li abihi. So we find the word idh means when, and idha also means when. Now what's the difference between them? Idh refers to the word when if it's referring to something in the past. And idha commonly is referring to something in the future. Let me give you a simple example in English. Because in English we just have one word, which is when. But the Arabs have two words, so we have to make a distinction. Idh, for instance. When I told you that I'll be here, I meant it. When I use that sentence, as an example, when I told you I'll be here, am I referring to something that I said in the past? Right? Then I would use idh. But if I say, when I come here, be ready. When I come here, be ready. Am I referring to something in the past or the future now? The future. That would be idha. That would be idha. Now this is found in the Quran. For example, idha ja'a amruna wa farat tanur. Actually, that's the exception. The only two places, arguably three places in the Quran where idha is used for the past. But before I get to the exceptions, let's look at the common case. Allah says idha shamsu kuwirat, idha. Then he says idha nujum, idha jibal, idha ishar, idha wuhush, idha bihar, idha nufus. All of those instances in Surah Al-Takwir are referring to something that happens in the future. Similarly, idha sama'un shaqqat, idha, when the sky is torn open, right? Similarly, idha zulzilatil ardu zilzalaha, when the earth is shaken. All of these idha instances referring to something that happens in the future. So commonly, idha for the future and idh for the past, but there are exceptions. Exceptionally, in the case of Nuh alayhi salam, Allah says, idha ja'a amruna, hatta idha ja'a amruna wa farat tannur. Then when our decision finally came and the kettle boiled over, referring to the valleys, you know, the valleys in the region of Nuh alayhi salam as forming a kettle, and it boiled over. You know when a kettle boils over, the water slips over? So the water filled over in the mountains and tipped over like a dam breaking, and that's how it's describing the kettle tipping over. But the word idha is used for the future, for the past in that case. Or idha balagha maghrib ash-shams in Surah Al-Kahf, when Dhulqarnain is traveling and he reaches the setting of the sun, meaning he reaches the west coast and he gets really far into the west, then idha is used also referring to something in the past. And the final case, which goes both ways, is in Suratul Munafiqun. In Surah Al-Munafiqun, Allah says, إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ in the very beginning. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ. And Mufassirun have understood that ayah in two ways. One is, when the hypocrites came to you. Now when I translated that, when the hypocrites came to you, what tense did I use? Past. Another way it's been interpreted by Mufassirun because of إِذَا is whenever the hypocrites come to you. Now when I translate it that way, whenever the hypocrites may come to you or come to you, now I'm referring to it in the future. Nonetheless, in Arabic literature, the norm is to use idha for the future. And that seems to be one of the stronger arguments used by this group of scholars to say that this is in fact a surah that is Makki, making a promise of the future. They tie this argument to another thing. In the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla in many, many occasions, both Makki and Madani, has given a guarantee of victory to the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For example, multiple times this ayah occurs, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ. This occurs multiple times. He, Allah, is the one who sent his Messenger with guidance in the religion of truth, so that it may overcome all the other ways of life, all the other deen, all the other religions. So the guarantee of Allah's victory. Then in Surah Ali Imran, at the occasion of Uhud, Allah says, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَتُغْلَبُنَّ وَلَتُحْشَرُنَّ إِلَىٰ جَهَنَّمُ وَبِئْسَ الْمِهَادِ. Tell the disbelievers, or tell those who have disbelieved, you will be overcome, and you will be gathered towards hellfire. So two things were told to them. Number one, you will be overcome. غَلَبَ to dominate. You will be dominated. And second, you'll be gathered to go to hell. What's really interesting about that is this two-part warning that's given to the kuffar in that surah, لَتُغْلَبُنَّ وَلَتُحْشَرُنَّ إِلَى جَهَنَّمْ. That same sequence occurs here. In this surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ, it's the part لَتُغْلَبُنَّ. They are overcome because the help of Allah came and the victory came. What about being dragged into hellfire? That's the next surah. تَبَّتْ يَدَا أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ. And then, سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتَ لَهَبْ. Right? So, being overcome and then being cast into the hellfire, that sequence occurs at the end of Qur'an also. Very interesting ayah. When the Messenger was making hijrah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was heartbroken. He was absolutely heartbroken. Makkah is where his heart is. This is his home. This is where he was born. And when he was making hijrah, Allah revealed an ayah to him to calm his heart. The ayah is, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرَضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادٍ. The one who has made the Qur'an mandatory upon you, meaning the one who's revealed it upon you and made it mandatory for you to live by it and to deliver it, that same one will make you return to the same place. He'll bring you back to the original place. So as the Messenger is leaving Makkah, Allah said, no doubt about it, I'll bring you back. So he gave him that guarantee, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the second, very important, we find this in Surah Safat, وَلَقَدْ سَبَقَتْ كَلِمَتُنَا لِعِبَادِنَا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. I'll go ayah by ayah. Our word, our promise has already been delivered to our slaves that have been sent as messengers. إِنَّهُمْ لَهُمُ الْمَنْصُورُونَ. It is they truly and only they that are going to be aided, that are going to be given help. Meaning Allah guarantees that every one of His messengers will be given help. But then He says, وَإِنَّ جُنْدَنَا لَهُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. And no doubt our army, it is only they, and especially they, that will be dominant. So in a Makki surah, already Allah gave the victory, the guarantee that the army of Allah will be dominant. In light of all of this, this minority of scholars looking at the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ, they say that this is a Makki surah making a guaranteed promise of the future. The final argument they use is the next surah. The next surah is about Abu Lahab and how he's going to be destroyed. That by the almost ijma' of the Mufassirun is a Makki surah. But we know that Abu Lahab was not destroyed in Makkah. Actually, his death comes much later. But the guarantee is given earlier, which makes part of the benefits of Surah Lahab is the miraculous promise of Surah Lahab. Abu Lahab could have turned around and said, okay, your Quran says that I'm going to die a disbeliever and go into hellfire. You know what? I accept Islam. And for years he didn't. And the reason that he didn't, Allah had already declared his faith. And he could have. He's a very clever enemy of Islam. And if he did, it would make the Qur'an look invalid. But he didn't. So it was part of the miracle of the Qur'an that he would remain in his kufr, and he would die in that state. Similarly, the argument is if the next surah is a miraculous surah guaranteeing an event of the future, this surah is also. That this surah came to talk about the help of Allah and the victory that is guaranteed to His Messenger والسلام, much in the past. Wallahu ta'ala alam. So the evidence is, once again, just as a recap, the use of the word idha, and then also the fact that this kind of promise has been made elsewhere in the Quran many, many, many times. The final comment before I let you go for the salah break, which is in a minute, inshallah, just to get the introductory comments out of the way, is that this year, when the Mecca was conquered, which is what the majority of scholars say, the word fath in this surah, victory, is referring to fath Mecca, the conquest and the opening of Mecca. When this is mentioned, this year is also called Aam al-Wufud. This is the year of ambassadors. These ambassadors, these representatives came from many, many, many different places, from Ta'if, from Yemen, from Hawazin. They came in groups of 40 and 80 and 100 and 200. And they came and they spent a couple of days with the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam. They heard the message of Islam. The whole bunches of them would accept Islam, take it back to their tribes, and the entire tribe would become Muslim. So in a very short amount of time, a lot of different ambassadors from all over the Arab world came to meet with the Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this particular year, and people started accepting the religion, multitude after multitude after multitude. Contrast this with the Messenger going to the people. A decade ago, the Messenger is going around delivering the message and people are laughing at him. And now the Messenger is sitting in Mecca and people are coming to him to learn about Islam. How Allah turns the tides, and how Allah Azza wa Jal gives aid to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these were some introductory comments about the surah. After the Maghrib prayer, inshallah ta'ala, we'll begin the dars of the surah word by word itself. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim, wa nafa'ni wa iyyakum bil ayati wa dhikri al-Hakim. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.